Welcome to day 30 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, and I'm thrilled to have you back with me for this 30th day of our journey through the Word of God. If you've been with me this entire 30-day period, congratulations, because you're completing a full month of this journey through the Bible. Today we are going to embark on one of my favorite books in the Bible, the book of Exodus. It's a book that has high drama. It is one of the most dramatic epics ever written. We are introduced to Moses, the great hero of faith in the Word of God here in the book of Exodus. We'll see him from his birth through his death and all the drama that he encounters as he is sent by God to rescue people, the Israelites from Egypt, all the miracles that he sees as he's telling Pharaoh to let his people go. We see the great chase scene when they are leaving Egypt and going through the Red Sea, which has been split by miraculous power. And we can hear the horses' hooves of the chariot horses of Pharaoh chasing after the Israelites and the miraculous destruction of that army in a moment by God himself. So this is a powerful book and it has many lessons for us. But Moses is a figure that I believe you will find so very fascinating. One of the most outstanding things I've ever heard about Moses was said by Dwight L. Moody, the great American evangelist from the 1800s. He says this, he says, Moses spent 40 years thinking he was somebody, 40 years learning he was nobody, and 40 years discovering what God can do with a nobody. So that is the story we are about to embark on. So we will begin today in chapter 1 of the book of Exodus, starting at verse 1. Now these are the names of the sons of Israel who came to Egypt with Jacob. They came, each one with his household: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin, Dan and Naphtali, Gad and Asher. All the persons who came from the loins of Jacob were 70 in number, but Joseph was already in Egypt. Joseph died, and all his brothers and all that generation. But the sons of Israel were fruitful and increased greatly and multiplied and became exceedingly mighty, so that the land was filled with them. Now a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. He said to his people, "Behold, the people of the sons of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal wisely with them, or else they will multiply, and in the event of war, they will join themselves to those who hate us and fight against us and depart from the land." So they appointed taskmasters over them to afflict them with hard labor. And they built for Pharaoh storage cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied, and the more they spread out, so that they were in dread of the sons of Israel. The Egyptians compelled the sons of Israel to labor rigorously, and they made their lives bitter with hard labor in mortar and bricks, and all kinds of labor in the field, and all their labors which they rigorously imposed on them. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shiphrah, the other was named Puah, and he said, "When you are helping the Hebrew women to give birth and see them upon the birth stool, if it is a son, then you shall put him to death. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live." But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt had commanded them, but let the boys live. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this thing and let the boys live?" The midwives said to Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and give birth before the midwife can get to them." So God was good to the midwives, and the people multiplied and became very mighty. Because the midwives feared God, he established households for them. Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, "Every son who is born, you are to cast into the Nile, and every daughter you are to keep alive." Chapter 2. Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a daughter of Levi. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a wicker basket and covered it over with tar and pitch. Then she put the child into it and set it among the reeds by the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to find out what would happen to him. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the Nile with her maidens walking alongside the Nile. And she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid, and she brought it to her. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the boy was crying. And she had pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?" Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go ahead." So the girl went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. The child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she named him Moses and said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Now it came about in those days, when Moses had grown up, that he went out to his brethren and looked on their hard labors, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that, and when he saw there was no one around, he struck down the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. He went out the next day, and behold, two Hebrews were fighting with each other. And he said to the offender, "Why are you striking your companion?" But he said, "Who made you a prince or a judge over us? Are you intending to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" Then Moses was afraid and said, "Surely the matter has become known." When Pharaoh heard of this matter, he tried to kill Moses. But Moses fled from the presence of Pharaoh and settled in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Now the priest of Midian had 7 daughters, and they came to draw water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. Then the shepherds came and drove them away, but Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. When they came to Reuel, their father, he said, "Why have you come back so soon?" So they said, "An Egyptian delivered us from the hand of the shepherds, and what is more, he even drew the water for us and watered the flock." He said to his daughters, "Where is he then? Why is it that you have left the man behind? Invite him to have something to eat." Moses was willing to dwell with the man, and he gave his daughter Zipporah to Moses. Then she gave birth to a son, and he named him Gershom, for he said, "I have been a sojourner in a foreign land." Now it came about in the course of those many days that the king of Egypt died, and the sons of Israel sighed because of the bondage, and they cried out, and their cry for help because of their bondage rose up to God. So God heard their groaning and remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God saw the sons of Israel, and God took notice of them. Chapter 3. Now Moses was pasturing the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. So Moses said, I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight, why the bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not come near here. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. He said also, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters, for I am aware of their sufferings. So I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from that land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Amorite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite. Now behold, the cry of the sons of Israel has come to me. Furthermore, I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians are oppressing them. Therefore, come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh, so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with you, and this shall be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God at this mountain. Then Moses said to God, Behold, I am going to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now they may say to me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God furthermore said to Moses, Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial name to all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has appeared to me saying, I am indeed concerned about you and what has been done to you in Egypt. So I said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Amorite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite, to a land flowing with milk and honey. They will pay heed to what you say, and you with the elders of Israel will come to the king of Egypt, and you will say to him, The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. So now, please, let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not permit you to go except under compulsion. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all my miracles, which I shall do in the midst of it. And after that, he will let you go. I will grant this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall be that when you go, you will not go empty-handed. But every woman shall ask of her neighbor and the woman who lives in her house articles of silver and articles of gold and clothing, and you will put them on your sons and daughters. Thus you will plunder the Egyptians. This is the end of today's Bible reading. In today's scripture reading, we see the amazing calling of a man into service for God. We see Moses being called out of the backside of the wilderness to do a very mighty assignment for the Lord. And so I want to focus on this subject of the calling and purpose of God for an individual's life, because I sincerely believe, and I believe it is scripturally borne out, that every person has a purpose from God. We find the truth of that throughout the Word of God from the beginning to the very end of it. But today I just want to focus on this issue of you having a calling and a purpose from God, and using Moses as an example of some things we should do and things we should not do with regard to the purpose God has for us. I believe that every single individual has been given a divine purpose before the foundations of the earth. In other words, God wrote your story long before you were ever born. But many people never discover what it is that they've been called to do. And yet, it's still inside of them, because that's something that God places in a person when he allows them to be given life on this earth. Moses, we see, was divinely chosen to be the man God would use to deliver his people Israel out of bondage in Egypt. A very big assignment, to be the deliverer, so to speak. But he wasn't going to do it in his own strength, and whatever calling God has on your life, it is not the intention of God that you try to do it in your own strength. God enabled Moses supernaturally, and we'll talk a little bit more about that, but he will also enable you supernaturally. But the key is, you have to agree with God about your purpose. Now, we see that somehow or another, Moses had a sense of his calling about being a deliverer for the Hebrew people. And I say that because we see the example that when in chapter 2, when it came about in those days when Moses had grown up, that he went out to his brethren, looked on their hard labors, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew. And he looked around, nobody was around, and he struck down the Egyptian. He killed him and buried him in the sand. Well, he had some sense of responsibility for the Israelites. He had some sense of the injustice that was being done to them. He had some sense of the need that the Israelites had to be delivered from the cruelty of the Egyptians. But he took matters into his own hands here and struck down the Egyptian, killed him, and buried him. He became a murderer instead of a deliverer. So you see here a person prematurely taking on the calling that God has for their life. And that's a very important message for all of us. There is a divine purpose when God releases a person into the fullness of the calling that he has for them. And there's a period in which God trains a person. Moses was still in his training period when that incident occurred. It was the calling of God for Moses to deliver the Israelites from the cruelty of the Egyptians, their slave masters, but not in the method that he took that day, which caused him to have to flee the very nation of Egypt and go live in the backside of the wilderness for a full 40 years. He was 40 years when this took place. He was in the wilderness for 40 years. And during that wilderness period, while he was basically a shepherd taking care of his father-in-law's flocks, this was a training time for Moses. I love what I mentioned earlier, that Dwight L. Moody said that first 40 years, he thought he was somebody. And he was. He was raised in the royal court of the Egyptians. He was Pharaoh's daughter's son, adopted son nonetheless, but raised as a son of Pharaoh's daughter, son of a princess. So he was raised in royalty. He was schooled in all the wisdom of Egypt. So he had an education. So he was treated with great respect because of who he was to Pharaoh's daughter. So that first 40 years, he felt pretty good about himself. The second 40 years in the backside of the wilderness in a foreign country without any own possessions of his own, taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. He probably was humbled phenomenally from the first 40 years of his life. And I will say that any time God is preparing someone for great service to God, great calling of God on their life, there is definitely a training period that involves a humbling process. When a person has a revelation about who they are and who God is, or really who they are not and who God is, a humbling time as Moses had in the backside of the wilderness. So with God, there's a calling on everyone's life, but with God, there's a timing for the calling to come to pass. And with God, there's a training period before the calling is actually released into the person's life, or you could say the commissioning. I like to say it that way, that there's a difference between your calling, meaning God's got a call on your life and it's a very specific purpose, and the time when you're commissioned to actually walk in the fullness of that purpose. Moses had that calling or purpose on his life since the day he was born. You have had a purpose that God has for your life since the day you were born, or you could really say since you were in your mother's womb. But the day of your releasing into that commissioning to be commissioned to begin it is a different story, because before you come to that day, there must be a training period. Those in-between years between the calling and the commissioning are preparation and training for that high call. And that's what God has for every single person. Like Moses, I have seen people step into or attempt to step into their purpose prematurely. And then they make mistakes like Moses did, and it ends up in a disaster. And in Moses' case, it was pure disaster. Pharaoh wanted to kill him, and he had to flee the country to escape being put to death for the murder of that Egyptian. So you could say he really messed up in the sense that he tried to go forward before the timing of God was right. And so that's something that's important to keep in mind. If you're in the training season right now, you know you have a calling on your life. You know God wants you to do something great for him. Or maybe you don't know, but let me tell you from the Word of God that you do have a purpose and a calling. But if you haven't come into that fullness of it, then right now, even before you even realize the calling, because understand, Moses didn't know that God was going to send him back to Egypt. When he was out in the backside of the wilderness during his training period, he had no idea that God was going to say, okay, go back to Israel, to Egypt, to talk to Pharaoh about releasing the Israelites. He had no idea that was happening. You may have no idea right now of what God specifically has for you to do for him. But don't miss out on the training period. Take advantage of every moment to draw close to God, to fill yourself with the Word of God, to pray continuously, to be a person that's always seeking after the Lord, so that your preparation time will be very fruitful. And the more you prepare, the more you ready your heart for God's calling, the sooner God can bring that to pass in your life. You can delay it by not preparing yourself for God's calling. You can actually be the cause of the delay, not God himself. So in Moses' case, he had a 40-year period where he was just, it seemed like, doing nothing important. That may be how it feels for you. But the truth was, God was dealing with his heart. God was preparing his heart. God was maturing him. And God was readying him for his calling. And then the day came, the amazing day, when Moses was out pasturing the flock of his father-in-law, and he saw this amazing sight, this burning bush appearance, and he literally heard the voice of God speak to him from that burning bush. Why a burning bush? It made Moses turn aside. Moses said, I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight, why the bush is not burned up. So this was something that wasn't something he had ever seen before. He was probably used to wildfires. He lived out in the wilderness, taking care of the flock, sleeping in the open. There would be fires that would occur from spontaneous combustion or from lightning strikes or whatever. So there could be a wildfire out in that wilderness, but he'd never seen a fire that didn't burn up what was on fire. And that's what he was looking at, and it caused him to turn aside. So God will use something in your life to cause you to turn aside and see what it is that God has for your life. God has that for every person. And when the timing is right, he will reveal to you the specifics of your calling. I know for myself that I had an experience like this, not a burning bush, but a time when God caused me to turn aside. I was working with my husband in the church, and I just got to a point where I knew something wasn't quite right in my own heart. I knew God was trying to tell me something, but I couldn't find out what it was. I wanted to know. I wanted to hear from God. I wanted the Lord to speak to me, but with all the activity that I had going on and a day in and day out, God had to just grip me to get me to turn aside. And I ended up going on a long fast and literally leaving town and going somewhere for 8 days and just waiting before the Lord. And it was then that the Lord gave me very specific direction to begin a radio ministry and begin just to step out in a direction I had never thought about in my life. I never thought about going on the radio, ever. And so at that point, it was like this word from God that Moses received. I want you to go back to Egypt. He had never thought of doing such a thing. I want you to go to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. I guarantee you, Moses had never had that thought cross his mind. So there's seasons you will not know the specifics of the calling, but you know in your heart God has something. Just prepare yourself. Get closer to God every day. Get yourself in the Word. What you're doing right now by listening to the Word of God, listening to good Bible teaching, prepares your heart so that you can be ready to respond when God has a burning bush moment for you, and you will turn aside to listen, to get those instructions from God like Moses did. So remember, don't be discouraged if you are not walking in the fullness of your calling right now, because there is a difference between your calling, which you absolutely have from God, and the day when God commissions you to step into it. So don't be discouraged, but prepare yourself so that you're ready when the Lord himself causes you to go aside and listen to the word of direction God's going to bring into your life. And don't worry, he will do it as long as you're seeking him. God bless you and have a great day.